Well, we're going to do things a little bit nearer. So we're at the table here for the special service today as we celebrate 70 years that the Lord in His mercy has given to us. And it is appropriate to sing the Psalm 100, the old 100th, All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, His praise forth tell. Come ye before Him and rejoice. Psalm for today is the Psalm 72. It's a psalm for Solomon. Let's hear God's word. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Seba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. May God bless this wonderful psalm to all of our hearts for the Saviour's sake. We are remembering today our anniversary celebrations and thanksgiving to Almighty God for all that he has done in 70 years. We've been praying for the sick and the sorrowing already at the early season of prayer, and we're able to announce that Noreen is safely back in Uganda, and we've been hearing from her during her journey and now on her arrival at Emmanuel. And we do remember our students that are preaching today. So we're going to seek the Lord. As we do so, I'm sure there's many, many texts that would come to mind on a day like this. We looked at the Psalm 115 at the early season of prayer, and we emphasized the opening verse, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." And there is a text you'll hear later on from someone who will speak to us, and it's been very precious to me all my ministry, and it's 1 Corinthians 15, 58, as we think of the Lord's work here. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So let's seek the face of our God in prayer. Let us all pray. Father, we thank thee for your mercies to us. And as we meet together in a public fashion here in God's house, we want to proclaim the goodness of God in the land of the living, and especially upon our families and upon the witness of the church over the years. We thank thee for our dear Savior, in whose name we now meet, and before whose presence we come in worship, adoration, and praise. We thank thee for what he has meant to the witness of this church over 70 years, and to us personally in the years that we have lived on the earth. We thank thee for what he means to our families and to us individually and personally. And we do rejoice in the Redeemer today. We thank thee for Christ crucified and that message that has been proclaimed for these 7 decades. We believe in the way of salvation that is revealed in your word, the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we thank thee that through the merit of Christ and all that he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, eternal life, forgiveness, and pardon is extended to those who believe. And for so many here in this church building, we have believed, we have received, we have been made partakers of Christ, and our sins are dealt with forever. We thank thee that we're certain about our future. And for so many here, it is because of the gospel that has been preached in these 70 years, both in Cabra and also here in Ballymoney. And we want to acknowledge these things in your house and in your presence today. We remember Sadie And Robert, as they come to speak to us in a short time, we pray that thou wilt be with them, grant them your presence round about, grant them also the infilling of the Spirit of God, that thou wilt be with them as we recollect together, as we think about the past and the mercies of God towards us. We pray that you'll help them exceedingly. Remember the special drive-in service tonight at Cabra, where the gospel of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed. We go back to the beginnings. We go back, Lord, to our very roots there. And, Lord, it's good to do that. It's good to remember, as your word exhorts us to do. And we seek your blessing upon every part of the service tonight. Let the Lord come in mighty power. Let the Holy Spirit be poured out as in the days of old. And Lord, may it be a saving time. What a token of your mercy towards us if some soul found Christ this very Sabbath day. We thank you for all our history, for the schoolhouse mission, the all-night prayer time, the early days, and we read about it in the history of our book. We think of all those names that are associated in those early days, men of prayer, men of vision, men that preached the word, very much part of what our foundation was, and we thank thee in the Savior's name for them. Remember those that grieve today. We've been praying already for the Campbells and the Skeltons as they mourn the passing of loved ones. We remember the sick also, and Lord, you know the names that are near to our hearts this day as we meet here. Some are suffering great pain. Some are sick and laid aside. Others are downcast today. Lord, we're glad that we're able to bring them to the feet of Christ and ask for your blessing upon them. Lord, have mercy. Thank thee also for the safe return of Noreen to the land of her calling. Bless her in Uganda and fill her with the Holy Spirit of God. And remember her dear mother and family that she's left for a little time. We pray in this parting your peace will reign in their hearts. Remember some of our students that are away today, some this morning, some tonight, maybe one of them, both services. We just commend them to the grace of God as we commit our way unto the Lord now for this time together for Christ's sake. Amen. I want to bid you welcome in the Savior's name to this special anniversary service and those that are listening in on the internet. I'm going to go through this very, very quickly because there's a lot on today. The meeting might be a little bit longer, but 70 years is 70 years, and I'm sure you'll understand that. But tonight, in the will of God, we go to Cabra for the drive-in service at 7. It's in the field, and the entrance to the field, is you'll see it there. It's plainly marked just before the Cabra Church. You'll see the entrance, and you'll be directed. There'll be men there to get you into the field. There'll be men stationed in various places off the field to get you to the parking places. If you drive a higher vehicle like a Jeep, you'll be asked maybe to go to the right or to the left, whatever they decide, so that you're not blocking the view of a car. You understand that. But you'll be safely parked, and we may be able to broadcast. We're going to attempt that, do it live. If not, it'll be recorded and uploaded later. Jonathan will be giving a personal word of testimony. Our other elders will be taking part. Rebecca will sing a piece for us, and I want to preach tonight. I want to preach on the text that's behind the screen. It was a text that was very near to Dr. Alan Kearns, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And you remember us as we bring that message tonight, that the Lord will write it upon our heart. So you've seen this before. This is the little invitation that I trust has gone out to as many as possible. The prayer meeting is at 5:30 on Zoom. I'm making a special appeal for prayer. As you'll see from the slide here, our forefathers, they led the way, and they knew the blessing of God. A church that prays is a church that will know the blessing of God. And 70 years on, God is still looking for men and women to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge in the place of prayer. And I'm asking this Bible question: who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord and to consecrate your service to the place of prayer? Who's willing? We need prayer, brethren and sisters. And if we can get back to those days, in the early days where men prayed and wept before God, only God knows what would happen in this town and this district. So we appeal to you, and we encourage you, if you become at all lax in the place of prayer, may the Lord rekindle a fire in your soul and give you that desire for him again. Can I thank all who helped yesterday with the preparation? You might have seen the video. Great team of workers came to help. Tomorrow night, there's a special presbytery at 8 o'clock. Thursday night, the last Thursday that I'll be speaking for a little while. Some of our students will be speaking over the summertime. We're going to make it a special time for missionary work. There'll be special prayer for the Christian school, which is, I suppose, part of our missionary work locally. But I'm going to bring a missionary message, and then some time will be given over to remember the various mission fields that we support. Next Lord's Day, the service is 12 noon. We come back to our study in Mark. The Lord's table will follow the worship service. There's an office bearer's time of prayer. We're going to just have that half an hour before the main church prayer meeting at 5, and then the others will join us at 5:30. Family night at 7. Darren Bailey from Port of Ogie. If you know Darren, Darren is a young man. He suffers with some deformity and he can't speak, so we have the assistance of Daphne Coffey, and she'll be helping him through his testimony tonight. But it is a remarkable story of God's grace. Thank you for your tithes and offerings, for missionary gifts that have come in recently. We received a gift of £80 and another gift of £500. We continue to pray for the work here and for the sick and the needy of the congregation. So keep these names before your mind and heart, and obviously before the Lord in prayer. So we're thinking about the 70 years that God has given to us of Kelbra, and now here in the town of Ballymoney. And we have special greetings from ministers and missionaries that have gone out from our congregation. So we're going to have the opportunity to listen to this just now.
Hello everyone. Loran and I rejoice with you on this very special occasion, where we celebrate 70 years of gospel witness in our congregation in Ballymoney. Hello everyone. Loran and I rejoice with you on this very special occasion, where we celebrate 70 years of gospel witness in our congregation in Ballymoney. The Lord in his tender mercy has been so good to us down through the years. It hasn't always been easy. Nevertheless, we have proved the promises of God. The Lord has honoured the promise he gave to Narana's grandfather all those years ago. For though our beginnings were small, our latter end has greatly increased. And as Dr. Paisley was so fond of saying, the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Let us this day before the Lord unite our hearts in sacred bond and covenant to our God that, by his grace, we will continue to serve him faithfully while he gives us breath. I close with the words of the psalmist in the Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake.
Psalm 115, verse 1 says, Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. 70 years ago, the Lord raised up the Free Presbyterian Church in this district of Ballymoney for the truth to be preached. He has blessed the witness and the salvation of souls and sending missionaries across the world to bring that truth to others. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, we read, For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Good morning from a warm and sunny Uganda. I wanted to take this opportunity to congratulate you all there at Hebron on this 70th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Witness at Cabra, Ballymoney and Hebron. I also want to praise God, for he has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We thank him for the physical facilities and provision that he has made for the work over these many years, but above all, we thank him for the people that he has given to us there in Ballymoney. People who had the vision to launch out and to commence this work, people who have prayed earnestly from the first day, people who have preached to us so faithfully the word of God, people who have served God in all aspects of the work and ministry, and people who have had an impact on my life personally and who have been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. Some of those people are no longer with us, and we do remember them with great fondness today and the blessing that they were to us. But for those of us who remain, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless you today, and may you know his presence and his power as you meet together in his house. With love and prayers, Laurie.
Greetings to one and to all in Hebron this morning. It is my joy all the way from Greenville, South Carolina, to enter into your celebrations in this fashion of 70 years of gospel witness in the town of Ballymoney. Many of you perhaps remember how the Lord was breathing upon the congregation in 2001 and 2002, and I was part of what the Lord was doing there. And in all my travels and in all my ministry, I have had many occasions to look back and remark at the mercy of the Lord in saving me and bringing me by his providence into the ministry of Hebron. I can't thank him enough. There is not another church that I could ever be covetous of in terms of where God saved me and kept me in those early years as a Christian. I can think of much to say, but as I sat down to think about this, I thought about what was maybe the first motto text that I heard. It may have been the 2003, probably Reverend Parks Records will be able to discover this, but it was certainly one of those early motto texts that I sat under, or at least received in some fashion, whether it was the year I was saved or a year after or something. But I just was thinking of that text in encouragement to you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labour is not in vain in the Lord. I have kept that text in my own heart. I know it is a text that the Reverend Park treasures and meditates upon often as well. And it sums it up. Christ is worthy. And I say to you, through the highs and through the lows, through the good times and the ill, keep pressing on. Stay faithful when it hurts. Stay faithful when everyone seems to think that it's out of season. Stay faithful to Christ, and may the Lord bless you and give you many, many, many more years and much more fruit in your evangelism and in your sending forth of ministers and missionaries, such as myself, even more effectual than myself, I trust, with the Lord's blessing upon them. May God richly bless you and encourage you and keep you humble in these days for Christ's sake.
Greetings in the Saviour's worthy name. I'm thankful to God tonight for the work, the witness and the ministry of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church these past 70 years. In fact, I count it as a great joy and a privilege to call Hebron my home church. Now, you'll know by looking at me, of course, I wasn't around for all 70 of those years. But in the relatively few years that I was among you, I saw missionaries sent out to the foreign field, students called into our college, whole families saved, children won, young people taught the things of God, the poor ministered to in many countries throughout the world, and countless souls reached with the precious sound of the gospel of Christ. I can say Hebron is a church faithful and true to Jesus. I trust and pray, Hebron, that your next 70 years will be as fruitful, as profitable, and as God-glorifying as your first 70. May there be another 70 years of service, of reaping, and of preaching Jesus Christ. And I pray for you that the best is yet to come. May the Lord continue to bless his church on Market Street.
Hello to everyone from Cortijos Nuevos in Spain. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Every time I remember the church in Hebron, I thank the Lord for all of you. You have now reached your 70th anniversary, so congratulations. It is a great time to reflect on the blessings that the Lord has given to us. Of course, personally, my family story is so closely linked to the church there, so I have you all in my heart. You have been a missionary church, trying not only to reach the area in Ballymoney, but even going to the ends of the world. So we want to thank you personally for all you've done and even for your prayers and support for us. May the Lord bless you and guide you and keep you and sustain you. Amen.
Greetings to you all at Hebron. It has been my joy and privilege to labour amongst you during this special anniversary year, albeit sometimes from a distance. I've been both challenged and encouraged while listening to various accounts of the working of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation of many souls in your area, both in those early days and indeed during this past 70 years. It has been a personal blessing listening to the numerous testimonies which echo the words of the psalmist. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We rejoice with you then today in past blessings and pray with you in anticipation of future blessings, looking to the Lord for those greater things, those even greater days of awakening which lie ahead in his perfect will.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am Dipankar Nandi, a student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. I just want to celebrate and thank God with you for the 70 amazing years of Hebron's ministry. I'm so thankful to God for the way you are impacting not just the community around you, but beyond. And I believe with all my heart that what God has done in the past 70 years is just the beginning. And it is my prayer that God would do even more than you think, ask, or imagine, and that the Lord will continually extend the place of your tent. Happy anniversary again, and may the Lord's grace and peace be multiplied unto you.
I'm going to sing together the hymn 734, Bringing in the Sheaves, and you will know this was the same hymn of the first mission in 1951. Let's sing it heartily to the Lord.
Thank you.
to come up and join us here at the table. Go then, ever weeping. May be seated. I just want to take this moment to welcome you, Sadie and Robert, for being so willing. Sadie shakes her head, but they are really willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. As you can maybe use that when it's opened. I'll pour it for you. You might need a wee drink. You can share yours with me later if necessary. So anyhow, we're reflecting over the 70 years that God has graciously given to us. And there is a verse that has been in my mind, and it is Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. I read this verse very appropriate, recently, and it's so appropriate. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. So we're kind of asking our elders here, the elder folks of the congregation, you must be really old if you can remember 70 years ago. Robert can't, he'll want me to say that. He's not, hasn't reached that age yet. But Sadie, she was a wee girl back then. But the Bible says, remember the days of old and consider. It's the right thing to do, to remember, to reflect. The Bible commends and exhorts us to look back, reflect upon the goodness of God, and meditate upon what the Lord has done in His mercy and how He has brought us to this day. That word remember and associated phrases like forget not is used many times in the Bible, telling us to look back with joy and praise and worship. And so we welcome Sadie and Robert. With their help, we're going to reflect. Sadie, in some fashion, will be looking through the eyes of a child, especially in those very early years. This is a year of anniversaries. 100 years ago, on the 21st of June, King George arrived in Northern Ireland to open the first Parliament. And that was done on the 22nd, the next day, when it was constituted. But more importantly for us, 70 years ago, Ian Paisley, a young 24-year-old preacher, arrived in Cabra to conduct a gospel mission. And then on the 23rd of June, which really is just a few days ago, and we think of the actual dates, the church was constituted as the Third Free Presbyterian Church, and that took place in a tent. 3 months prior to that, of course, the denomination began on the 17th of March, 1951, down in Crossgar. So it's a year of anniversaries. It's a year of anniversaries for me. I went into Bible college 40 years ago. That's a long time ago. I was a teenager. I have to put that wee bit in. And I was ordained to the Christian ministry 35 years ago. And come September, will be 25 years here. 15 years ago, we saw the new church here at Hebron open to the glory of God. But the one important thing for us today is to remember the beginning of our church and then what the Lord has done over the years. And we will be going this evening out to Cabra, back to our origins, and conducting that gospel mission or meeting there tonight. Our church began on the solid foundation of the gospel, the preaching of the word, and prayer. We have had four buildings. I should have a slide that will show those buildings, and you'll see it in the order of service tonight. We've had four ordained ministers, and Reverend Mary before that as a student was part of the work. And this church is known for certain great features, gospel preaching. Think of all the missions over the years, doctrinal preaching, fervent prayer, missionary endeavor, gifted musicians and choirs and singers, outreach ministry, soul winning, sending forth laborers into the harvest fields, family atmosphere when you come here, want to be a family church, Christian education as we think of our school, godly leaders in the work, faithful Sunday school teachers and children's workers. And the Lord Jesus has promised to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's been doing that over 70 years at home and abroad. And we think of the missions, we think of the outreach, we think of the home mission, we think of the open airs, let the Bible speak, missionary endeavor. And as we look back with Sadie and with Robert, we're going to give God the glory, and we're going to proclaim, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Each minister, elder, deacon, worker has been a link in the chain, because we're laborers together. One sows and another reaps, but God always gives the increase. And I've had the privilege of being here for almost 25 years, and in that time, being part of the work. I remember great men of God like Albert and Nevin, Willie Stevenson, Jim Haggerty, and others, so numerous to mention, really, godly elders and deacons gifted to this church, and we have seen great conversions over the years. Now, I'm going to show you some slides very quickly just before we ask Sadie to speak to us. This is the schoolhouse where that mission of 6 weeks was preached in. This is where the all-night prayer meeting took place, in Sandy McCauley's home. This here is the constitution of the work. You sort of see the tent there to the right-hand side, the barn loft, where for 18 months the congregation met. There was a sod-cutting service that was held 70 years ago, and then eventually the church at Cabra was open to the glory of God. And we think of those that were there at that time. Now, Sadie, you're there in the middle of this, about 10 years of age or thereabouts, maybe some of your sisters as well, and some other friends that you'll remember. And we think of your parents, who had a great part to play in the beginning. So some of you have seen these photographs before, but it brings us back. We think of Cecil Minnery as a student, Reverend Cecil Minnery, 1951 to 52, and then the first ordained minister, the Reverend John Wiley, from 1952 to 1964, being with the work in Cabra for 12 years. Dr. Alan Cairns came in 1965 and was the minister of this congregation until 1980. And we have the installation service of the Reverend Leslie Curran, who came in 1980 and was there until 1995. And the opening of the school those years ago took place in September 1979. And then this man came. That's not 25 years ago. That's a more recent photograph. And just a very happy moment there in the pulpit with Dr. Cairns. Saw the Carson complex opened, the new church then. You remember this building going up to the glory of God and the changes. It was so lovely to have Albert was able to visit. He didn't see the opening of the church, but he was able to visit and drive into the church when he was able to do that way back then. And then, of course, the church looked like this when it was finished. This congregation has had a great interest in children's work over the years. One of our meetings of Youth Challenge, think of the Sunday school. There's four young ladies, you might recognize them. And our superintendent speaking one Children's Day. Children up singing. And of course, there were other events for them when we took them away on summer camps. And this is teamwork. We know about teamwork in this congregation, more the fun side of things, as you can see. And even this big splash, as many of them went into that water in one of the events that they did. But always the emphasis was on fellowship and the things of God and the speaking forth of God's word when the children gathered in for that. And we think of Andrew, the coordinator there of the Youth Challenge, and Philip, who's been involved in that work for so many years. And then what we used to be able to have in the summertime before coronavirus came. Think of a youth leader. We have a great heart for the young people of this church, and we thank Samuel, our present leader, for all that he does. And the young people, of course, up there singing. And they also have had their times away together, and we thank God for that. And I just thought I would put this slide in. This is the last little baby that was dedicated to the Lord in this house. We take care of children from their infancy. We've been associated with singing, and we praise God for the Hebron Choir over the years and all that they have done, not only in the church, but going out to the old people's homes round about at Christmas time to sing there. And you remember this event down in Stormont when we had the choir perform there, a beautiful piece, the cantata piece. We think of how we were part of the young people going up there to Port Rush for the open-air witness that was held in that town annually. Think of the work of the Christian school, our principal, some of the pupils from way, way back, and some in more recent days, and Sunbeams, of course. And say, do you remember this night as we celebrated the many years that you served the Lord in this house and all the people that sat in your Sunday school class over the years that you were their Sunday school teacher? We had a great night. We think of our seniors and good old friends. Jim's in the glory and Griffith's no longer able to attend with us here. But we thank God for the seniors. We try to look after them as well, and you'll recognize some of these folks. Robert, you recognize yourself there. And Stuart, I was visiting the martyrs. We had a special outing there. You'll remember this, folks. We're also thinking of the open-air work. Brother Albert was very much involved in that, going around 10 venues in the summertime one day, preaching the word, and that ministry has continued very, very faithfully over the years. We've been known for missions. This will bring you out to the Cabra days when 10 years ago we went there for our anniversary mission and the tent was put up. Great team of workers again, and the gospel was preached. And Mervyn and Rhonda will remember this on the last day when you came to Christ. The high school mission, not that long ago, and then into the Glebe. Covenanters' trips were always connected to the church here, run to the school, and we have happy memories of going to Scotland on many occasions. And harvest services, Dr. John Douglas coming here so faithfully every year. We had a special night. We thank God for the elders and the committee of the church. We've spoken about godly men, faithful men. And this was the special night that we had for Griffith when he received elder emeritus. And we sent young people out, prayed for them, and we're very thankful about that. Young students going into the Bible college. Missionary weekends, that's the old building. I remember that night when they were queued up, couldn't get in, and it took 15 minutes just to get them all seated. We're thankful for the anniversary service, and these are some of our missionaries that we sent out. You've heard from them already. That was when Noring was in Uganda. Then some folks went out and helped in the work in Uganda. Young people going on their vocational Bible school to help out. First time that I went to the land of Romania, this was taken, visiting Deborah House, wee bit younger looking there. And then, of course, the involvement that we've had. See, do you remember the money that was raised by the seniors to help out with the work in Romania? The children from the school getting involved with little John as well, and our own Word of Truth. The Container Project, we're so thankful for all the workers that we've had getting involved in these things. and a wee slide there of Eugene, who's now in the glory, and the work that we've done with Deborah House over the years. Just trying to go through these as quickly as possible, reaching out to the poor and the Roma families of Romania as well. You remember that visit, Robert? And the shoeboxes that we did for the land of Nepal. You remember almost 700 shoeboxes were sent out, and the visit that we had there with Jonathan and Ivor. So they remember these special hats that we were given and the flowers as well, bringing back memories. In more recent days, we've been reaching out into Pakistan and into India and also the Philippines and the wee projects that we've been doing recently. All these things we thank God for. You remember David Brown was a student assistant here. We sent out Armin. We sent out our brother Josh Moffat, Alejandro, and students. Now, David, I think, had left at that stage, but there's the other two. Dr. Bill Woods has been closely associated with us over the years, and Fred Orr as well. And remember this celebration, it was 5 years ago, and also when Dr. and Mrs. Paisley came to visit our sister Marjorie in her latter years of life. So Sadie, we want to welcome you tonight, or this morning. If the slides go on much longer, it might be tonight. And Sadie's going to speak to us, and we're going to give you liberty now to reflect upon the earlier days, the beginnings, Cabra, mission, all-night prayer meeting, maybe men of God back then, outstanding characters, missionary work, let the Bible speak, maybe moving into town in 1972, just whatever you have prepared, Sadie, to talk to us about. God bless you.
Well, I feel it a great privilege today to be able to be here. I just thank God for how he has been with me over these 70 years. 70 years ago, on the 23rd of this month, the church was opened. We weren't always in Ballymoney. Now, Cabra, if you don't know where it is, you'll probably know after tonight, it's about 3.5 miles from here. It's not a town, it's not a village, it's just a townland. I want to tell you something about how the church came into being. My family, for those who don't know, consisted of 7 sons and 3 daughters, and I was the youngest. I was just 10 years old 70 years ago. That gives away my age to begin with. We attended the local Presbyterian church where the gospel was never preached. My father was Sandy McCauley. He was the clerk of session and he was also the superintendent in the Sunday school. And he was one day invited by a neighbour to go to an open-air orange service to hear a man called Ian Paisley. He went to that meeting and he heard Mr. Paisley preach with great power. And he came home that night and he said, "We must get that man for a mission." And so it was organised. The schoolhouse would be available. Schoolhouse belonged to the Presbyterian Church. But it was made available to us because my father ran an afternoon Sunday school on a Sunday afternoon. The mission was arranged to commence in April of 1951. Large posters were put up around the district. And one of the subjects named in that poster was 3 men going to hell, all living in the Ballymoney district. That night, the schoolhouse was packed. Many people were standing outside. And Mr. Paisley preached about 3 different types of sinners. That wasn't what a lot of the people expected. They were expecting him to name names. People came to that mission in many forms of transport. Bicycles, cars, there weren't many cars in those days, tractors, And even one man came with his trailer on behind the tractor, and the trailer was full of people anxious to hear the gospel. As we heard this morning, every night we sang Bringing in the Sheaves, and certainly the sheaves were brought in during that mission, and 100 precious souls came to know Christ. But after the mission, Mr. Paisley and the other men involved, my father and others, they wondered, where will we send these people who have recently been saved? There wasn't a Presbyterian church around the district that preached the gospel. And so it was talked about starting a church. Some people were for and some against. So it was decided that they would have a prayer meeting. And that prayer meeting was in our home. I was put to bed, of course. But when Mr. Paisley starts to preach or to pray, you don't get much sleep. But at that prayer meeting, they prayed much. At 12 o'clock, the ladies went home, but the men prayed on. Some men went home as well, but the majority of the men stayed on until 7 o'clock in the morning. And they decided that they would have to decide what they would do. Willie Stevenson, who was there that night, he stood up in front of the fire and he said, "Brethren, I think we must take our stand on this." At 7 o'clock in the morning, they came out into our lawn at the front, probably to get a breath of fresh air. And there, it was decided that they should start a church. Now, this was a very serious situation for many of those men. Many of them were involved in the work of their own church. As I told you before, my father was clerk of session and Sunday school superintendent. He had a very large adult Bible class there, although he was very the minister tried to discourage him into having it. And that was a big decision for him, but the Lord gave him a promise. From Job chapter 8 and verse 7, "Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase." And on that promise, he stepped out in faith. Many men from the churches were trying to dissuade them from starting. But you know, they were steadfast, they were unmovable, and they were always abounding in the work of the Lord. The plans were to commence the church in the schoolhouse. But when news got out about this, the schoolhouse was closed to them. And so Mr. Paisley brought a tent. And the first meeting in that tent was on the Saturday, the 23rd of June. It was a lovely sunny day, and the place was packed. Many people gathered, some just to see what was going on. Two local ministers from the Rip Presbytery attended, and they probably thought they would get slipped in at the back to hear what was happening, but they were ushered up to the front, just underneath the desk where Mr. Paisley was preaching. He spoke out very powerfully that day and outlined some of the reasons why a Free Presbyterian Church needed to be started in our area. Next day was the Sabbath day, the first meeting, and everybody was very excited. Even the excitement came to me, for I was only 10 years old. But unfortunately, that day was a wet day, and Mr. Paisley had brought us a holy tent, and the umbrellas went up. But nevertheless, it was a good meeting. But it was decided by the men in the afternoon to go to Willie Stevenson's barn loft. They went up and swept it out, put the chairs in, and the meeting started. Downstairs, there was a prayer room fixed up. It was partitioned off with bales of straw, and the men just stood inside among the bales of straw, and they prayed. And when we were coming into the church, you could hear those men pray. I could name many of them, but I'm afraid I might forget some. But they were men of prayer. Now, the barn loft was approached by a pair of rickety stairs. There was no fire escape, but we never thought of those. There were no health and safety in the early days. Many preachers came. We didn't have a minister at that time. Different preachers came. The Reverend George Steers, he was then in Crossgar. He was a retired missionary from South Africa. There was a very young John Douglas and Ron Cook, and they preached very often. Men like Cecil Harvey from Crossgar came as well, and a man from Belfast, Billy Kelly. In August of 51, Cecil Maneri had just finished his course at Belfast Bible College, and he was sent to look after the church in Cabra. And by that time, Resharkin had started, and he was in charge of both churches. During his ministry, many people came to know the Lord in the barn. One of them was Graham Strong, whose family would still visit or attend the church here. Mr. Maneri was with us for some time. He preached one Sunday in Resharkin and the next Sunday in Cabra. But then eventually he left and went to Resharkin permanently. But he came back later on and took my sister away to Crossgar. And they were married in 1964, and he stayed there until he retired in 1988 and came back to retire in Ballymoney. Mr. Wiley preached quite often for us. He had an electrical business in Dundonald, but we always enjoyed his ministry. And we stayed in the barn for 18 months while the church was being built. Now, in those days, there was very little money, and there weren't a big congregation. But some old army huts were dismantled at Aldergrove, and the bricks were brought down to Cabra, and the men cleaned the old plaster off the bricks. Those men involved, some of them, James Stevenson and Fred Given, who were in the church until they died. And the young men also worked, my brothers. There was great opposition in those days. When people were bringing supplies to the church, they were brought mainly by tractor and trailer, and people would turn their backs on them. Many people suffered. My father lost a lot of customers, but eventually they all came back. A lot of labour was done by Norman Taylor. His family are still here to this day. I was told that he arrived one morning on a small motorbike with two bags of cement on the tank and Mrs. Taylor sitting on behind. I don't know whether she was coming to attend him or not, but she was there anyway. The building progressed slowly, and it was decided that instead of having it all voluntary work, they would get a builder. So Willie Quinn, who was a member of the church, came. He gave up his job in Taggart's and came to work full-time in the building. Albert Hanna supplied the pulpit. He was another elder that we had, and he supplied the pulpit for the new church. There was no electricity near, and it was too expensive to bring it. So an engine and generator were installed to make the electricity. Central heating was installed, and the boiler was heated by a coal fire, which meant that some of the men had to go every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock to light the fire. Church building was finished and opened on the 8th of November 1952. This was an outstanding day in the history of the church. Church was packed, and many came from other congregations that had already been started. Reverend John Wiley, who was a student then in the theological hall, was installed as our minister. His first Sunday, there was a soul saved, and that person was Robert Quinn, and he remained with us until he wasn't able to come any longer. This was certainly a token for good. Mr. Wiley was very interested in open air work, and he started an open air at the Diamond, and Albert, my brother Albert, joined with him, and that open air has continued until this day. Mr. Wiley was once invited by the Christian Workers Union to go to Dunloy for a Sunday afternoon open air. When he was there, he was attacked by people with hurling sticks, and he was badly injured. His car was smashed, and the recording equipment was smashed as well. But Mr. Wiley was a fearless man. He went back to Dunloy and had a meeting without incident. Mr. Wiley worked between Coleraine and Ballymoney for a good number of years, and he was the means of starting many churches in this area. He started a young people's in Cabra, and Albert eventually took over that work while he was there. There were many people in those days that were real prayer warriors. Many of them I couldn't mention because there's so many. There were elders in the church, and they really knew how to pray. One man sticks out in my mind, and he was Cochran Hutchison. He's a treasurer of the church, and he was a man who knew the Lord. But it wasn't only men, there were women. Many of the women prayed in their meetings, but two that stand out in my mind were Alice Moore and Mrs. Biggert. In 1964, Mr. Wiley accepted a call to Coleraine, and he went there. And in January 1965, the Reverend Alan Cairns came to be our minister. He was installed in January. He was 24 years old. He was unmarried. But soon after, a Miss Joan MacDonald came on the scene. And they were married in August of that year and took up the work. We became close friends and remain so until this day. Mrs. Cairns was also very much involved with the young people of the church. The work began to increase, and it was very evident that the building was too small. So the elders talked about moving to Ballymoney. Mr. Cairns thought it would be better to move than to add an extension. The congregation met, and it wasn't 100% unanimous. There were a few people who wondered, because of the good times that we had had in Cabra. And so Mr. Cairns, who was a very man of great wisdom, he said we would do nothing until everybody was unanimous in it. A few weeks after, those who were hesitant came and said they would move. And so the decision was made that we would move to Ballymoney. Now, Robert's going to talk a bit about the Ballymoney part, but I want to say that during those years, There was a great move at one time in the Young People's Fellowship. We came to the meeting. Mr. Cairns said, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to talk to you. And while he talked, tears began to flow, and there was great brokenness. And that night, two young ladies came to know the Lord. I had never experienced anything like this before or since. To me, it was a breath of revival. Now, Calvary Church was a very missionary-minded church. I think Robert's going to speak of this. But I want to say that the missionary weekends were a great blessing to me. If we had been able to hold our missionary weekend this year, it would have been the 53rd. And those were great times of blessing. Some years we had to extend it to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There were so many missionaries. Great men like James and Dory Gunning, Mr. and Mrs. Eads, Edwin and Murray Norwood, Victor and Audrey Maxwell, Dr. Bill Woods, and many others who came. And God blessed those meetings. There was great growth in the church in 1966. Whenever Dr. Paisley and the Reverend Wiley and the Reverend Foster were in prison. And at that time, the Calvary congregation was absolutely packed to the doors. Couldn't get the people in. So that was the time that it was decided to move to the Ballymoney Church. Now, a site had to be obtained, and my brother Bertie had bought a site on this where the church is today. He said he would give it for half price, and another man gave a gift, and that site only cost £300. Sod cutting was on 9th of May 70, and the building began. Time is moving on, so I better hurry up. The church was built by Jackie Hassan and his brother. John Hanna, who's now a missionary in Spain, did all the electrical work. Nevin Carson played a big part in the building of the church because he had building experience. I'm told that the cost of the building, including the tarmacking, was £24,000. That's not much by today's terms. We had now a bigger church and we needed to bring the people in. So an old bread van was bought and it was converted into a 29-seater bus, children's meetings. We started children's meetings and the wee hall upstairs was packed to capacity. Children were brought in and to Sunday school in the Sunday morning and unsaved were brought in from the area. We had a great mission in 1976, and I think Robert's going to speak about that as well. But I want to mention the 24 hours of prayer that was at that time. We arranged Mr. Cairns was the means of this. He called it a chain of prayer, and he wanted two or three people to be there at all times. Sometimes there were only a few ladies during the day, some who rarely prayed publicly, but there was no difficulty in continuing for an hour. There was such a presence of the Lord, I'll never forget it. That mission commenced with the harvest service on the Sunday. Dr. Bob Jones from Greenville was a preacher, and it was at that meeting where the Lord called Albert to go into the Lord's work in the home mission. Well, he didn't know there'd be a home mission. at that particular time, but Robert's going to speak about that later on. But that was a great mission. It was a time of blessing when souls were saved. Also, I'm not going to say very much about this because my time's more than gone. LTBS was a big part of the work here. Mr. Cairns, Reverend James McClelland, and the Reverend Frank McClelland were the means of commencing this. And now it has covered nearly the whole world. Mr. Curran still carries on this ministry at the moment. Studio was built, or was renovated out at the Calvary Church. Some of the folk who are here recently might not know that. And the broadcasts went out from there. They started very small in the Isle of Man over Manx Radio, but they extended, and there was a very big listening audience in India. Many pieces of literature were sent out there. Wells were dug by members of this congregation and other congregations. That was an appeal that was put out on Truth for Youth. That ministry still continues and is even extended to television. Before I sit down, I'm just going to mention the inter-fellowship quizzes, that some that are here will remember them. We entered that for 6 years and were successful in winning 2 cups. Mr. Cairns was very involved with this. I want to say before I sit down, this church was built on prayer. And anything that will ever be done for the Lord will be done by prayer. We need praying people. We have a great heritage. The only thing that I regret is that my father didn't live to see the prosperity and to see the promise that he was given answered. Because he died in 1960 at the age of 61. But the work continues. I want to say a wee word to our young people today. Young people are very close to my heart and always have been. You have a great heritage in this church. Value it. Put all you can into the work of the church. It was handed down to you at a great cost. May the Lord bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Sadie. A remarkable little lady. And I do appreciate you bringing us back to those days. Robert, there were many missions in the church over the years. The church has been known as a gospel preaching church. And obviously the first one way back when Dr. Paisley came. But 1976 was a special time when the Reverend Elliot came and preached at that mission. Would you like to tell us a wee bit about it?
The Reverend Elliot came, that was a tremendous mission. Church was full nearly every night. And Reverend Elliot preached with great power, and there were great conviction in the meetings. At that mission, people came from everywhere. It wasn't only people from Ballymoney, they came from everywhere. And 50 souls were saved at that mission. Sort of, we could say a real breath of revival. There's not missions like that nowadays, but certainly a tremendous time. The Lord really came down. A tremendous time, a breath of revival, I could say.
Amen. Dr. Cairns featured quite a bit in the history of the church, but he got a call to Greenville in South Carolina. That must have been a bit of a shock to the congregation.
Certainly a big shock, an even bigger shock whenever he announced that he was accepting the call to Greenville. And I can remember the Sunday he was telling us that he was moving to Greenville. He felt he couldn't speak, so he'd be too emotional. So he prepared a recording, and he recorded the message and explained why and told us the Lord's calling to Greenville. So that was a very sad day in our history. But on his last night, the last night he preached in the church, he didn't go to the door. He just he remained at the back. He went to the back room, and Mrs. Cairns remained on in the church. And the people went out, but young people, they didn't go away. And they all flocked back into the church again, and they just flocked around Mrs. Cairns, and then Mr. Cairns came out of the back room. And that was a very sad time, and there were a lot of tears that night. It was a terrible time. Young people, it shows the interest the young people had and the much they thought of Mr. and Mrs. Cairns. But just if I could maybe go back a wee bit to the Cabra days, Mr. and Mrs. Cairns took a great interest in the young people. And I had just started the Young People's Fellowship. I was just about 11 at that time. And I just started the Young People's Fellowship. And, you know, I always looked forward to a Friday night to get to the Young People's Fellowship. Mm. It wasn't a boring time. It was really great times of fellowship. And we visited other youth fellowship from other churches, and they would have visited us. And we went to Newton's, and then Mr. Cairns decided he would take us on holiday. So the first holiday we went to was in Newcastle County Down, and a mighty time, great time of fun and fellowship. Then, I don't know whether it was the following year or whether we missed a year or not, but we went to Scotland, Ely in Scotland, I remember it well. Great time again. Then we went to Sheringham in England. And then one year we went to a place called Great Yarmouth. We called it Big Yarmouth. But great times of fellowship. Well, those were great times. And then he decided that we would go carol singing in the winter time. We had an old red bus at that time. And the heater wasn't great in it, and the condensation had been running down the wonders, and we were pulling up and walking in lanes and the snow on the ground. We were come back to the bus cold, starving, and then we had soup prepared. And we sat along the road in the old bus and took soup. Those were great times, mighty times.
Amen.
So Mr. and Mrs. Cairns, I must say, had a great influence even on me as a young person. I just want to pay tribute to Mrs. Cairns for the good times we have had, and for not only as a pastor's wife, but a true friend over the years. And I wish her God's richest blessing in the days that lie ahead.
Amen. Reverend Curran then came in 1980. He was here for 15 years, very godly example to the flock. In that time, there were missions, and of course, the Christian school began during that time also.
Yes, Mr. Curran, a godly man, a great Bible teacher, certainly knew the scriptures. But I must say that sometimes, maybe I just couldn't take it all in. You know, it was very deep into scripture, but that wasn't his fault. That was my fault. But, you know, also a great gospel preacher, especially at funeral services. At funeral services, there were none like Reverend Curran. I never heard preaching like it. It was a funeral service. And many people remarked about preaching at a funeral service. So we would have held missions as well in Mr. Curran's time. I maybe can't remember them all, but I know we had a mission in Donaghy. We had one on Moss Side. I remember it well, for he asked me to give a word of testimony at that mission. That was the first time I had ever given my testimony publicly. So I remember that mission. Then we had one on the old market yard at the bottom of Union Street, just across from the bottom of Union Street. That was a tent mission. I think it was actually organized by the youth of the church, but Mr. Curran, there were various speakers, and Mr. Curran spoke about that a number of times as well. The work began to grow at that time, and especially the Sunday school. At that time, there was about 180 at the Sunday school. And we were running out of space, and we had nowhere to put the children, and there were Sunday school classes all throughout the church, and it was decided that we need to try and expand, but we had no room. So the man living beside the church here, Mr. R.G. Carson, he was a businessman in the town, a very decent man, and it was said that we would approach him to see if we could get a wee bit of ground. He had a yard, and then he had a lot of ground behind the house, and if we would approach him, and he would maybe sell us a wee bit of ground. So he was approached, and he took a day or two to think about it, and then he came back to us and he said he would be very happy to sell all his property there, the house, the yard, which included buildings, and the piece of ground. So that was brought to the committee, and we decided we would purchase that. That was purchased. The house was renovated, that's now the manse, and the outbuildings, which I think were maybe stables, they were renovated, which is now the Christian school. The Christian school commenced there in 1983, and then we had more ground left to build on. So that was a great help to us at that time. Mr. and Mrs. Curran and the Curran family were plunged into great grief with the death of wee Naomi, their youngest daughter. Passed away after being ill for about a year. She passed away in 1992 at 4 years of age. That was a great blow to the Curran family and also to the church family. I can remember well the day of the funeral service. There were many tears as that wee coffin was carried out in the manse and across the road and laid to rest in the cemetery. That was certainly a very sad time for the Curran family.
I remember coming to that funeral.
Mr. Curran then carried on he was involved in the LTBS ministry, and he went into that full time, and which he carried on to this day.
Then there's a young-ish minister came with dark hair in December 1996. Just a wee comment. And then we'll move on to the next question.
Where do you start with that man? He's still here, that man, but the dark hair has gone.
That is true.
Mr. Park wasn't very long here until we realised he had a great vision for missionary work and a great vision for the mission field. That went down well in our church because we had always been a very missionary-minded church all down through the years. And so he fitted in very well in that end, and he visited many of the mission fields, like Spain at that time, and Kenya, Brazil. Then more recently, now, took a great interest in Romania, sort of taken over from the Reverend Stanley Barnes, who is now retired. I have been involved with Romania for many, many years, and then Uganda, and even now preaching in Pakistan and India. But I want to mention Romania because in 2018, he asked me to go with him to Romania for 3 days, which was a bit apprehensive at the time, but I went. I really enjoyed that time. And then we went back, and the following year, my wife went with me, Derek and Melody Archibald from this church, and some others, Mrs. Park went. And a great time we had in Romania, and it was there that I really realised the burden Mr. Park had for that land, and especially the poor families and those people in Moldova Noa. And, you know, we went to visit the Roma community, and when we got out of the minibus, those children just ran to Mr. and Mrs. Park. They were jumping up on them and hanging around their waist. the love that those children had for Mr. and Mrs. Parker is really unbelievable, and the love that they have for the children. And that's really there that I realised the real burden that they have for that Roma community. So we need to pray for Mr. Parker. He would have probably been out again last year, this year. I would probably have been going back, would love to go back, but with the lockdown situation, we hasn't been able to take place. But we need to pray for the work and rebellion for those poor families. To see some of those children once the Lord would be just amazing. But I feel I have to say that behind every good man, there's always a good woman.
A better woman, maybe.
Maybe a better woman. But, you know, Mrs. Park is very much in support of the work that he brought. And she would seldom get a mention. I know Mrs. Park's a quiet person, doesn't want any praise, but Mrs. Park does a lot for Hebron and for her husband, behind the scenes that nobody knows anything about. So I just want to pay tribute to Mrs. Park, but even more in a practical way, when we go out carol singing, the final night of the carol singing, which is a highlight of the year, we go back to the manse and a lovely supper is provided. A great time of fellowship, laughter, fun. It's just an amazing time. And that's provided by Mrs. Park. Then the workers and at the church a few Saturdays ago, a fry provided for them all. Now I missed out on that day because I had another job on and wasn't able to be here, but I understand the fry was very good. There were maybe 15 fries made, so I don't know whether he had any part in it or not. Now, whether he could fry an egg or not, I don't know. But that there...
I think he did fry the egg.
No, did you break any of them? But,
I'll not tell you.
So I just want to say thank you to Mrs. Park for all you do for Hebron. On behalf of the congregation here, it's very much appreciated.
Robert, thank you.
If I was maybe just to sum you up, Mr. Park, just in a sentence.
That's all I wanted at the start. Well,
if I was to sum you up in a sentence, using a good Northampton phrase, I can say, you're a right buddy.
You're a right buddy. I'll have to remember that one. Singers, choirs, musicians has always been part of the work here.
Yes, we've been blessed with good singers and musicians right through back from the Calvary days. Even now in Hebron, instruments have been played as well as the organ and the piano. We have the flute and the saxophone, and even yourself, Mr. Park, on the accordion. So we've been blessed with many good singers. The choir was started in Ballymoney here. And I've been a member of the choir since its formation. So, yes, that's been a big part of our history, singing and choirs.
And God gave us this building in 2006. It was
a
great milestone in our history.
Yes, this church was opened in 2006. It has been a great help because now we were able to broadcast live on Sermon Audio and Facebook and YouTube, things that we weren't able to do before. It has been very helpful now during lockdown, but we have been able now to broadcast throughout the world, and certainly that's been a great help. Then we have the fellowship area, which is good for a cup of tea and a bit of fellowship on a Sunday night after the meetings. Yeah.
And we gave a new name, you'll remember, just very quickly. We called the church Hebron. We did that for four reasons, if you remember back then. Caleb had the city of Hebron given to him, and he wholly followed the Lord. And our thought was, we wanted our people to wholly follow the Lord in this congregation. It was also a city of refuge, the city of Hebron. And we wanted this place to be a refuge for sinners, where men and women and young people would meet with Christ and flee to him as the only refuge.
And then we think of David. He was crowned king in the city of Hebron, and we wanted Christ to be king of this church. And then the name itself, it meant fellowship or union, and we wanted to know that fellowship among our brothers and sisters here, the union that we have first and foremost with Christ, and then because of the union with him, the union that we enjoy with each other. Would the church be a busy church? We'll have to come to a quick conclusion on our wee questions, for time is gone.
I think it goes without saying we're a busy church. So much going on. Sometimes there would be something on maybe every night of the week. So,
the Sabbath day and the prayer meetings, the children's work and the youth work, the seniors and all these things, the missionary endeavour. Any comment on the fact of being a missionary minded? Well, did I forget a question?
Yes.
Before we got this church, we got the Carson Complex, and it was a great encouragement to us. Yeah, but we weren't in that, Robert.
Yes, the Carson Complex, around that time, it was a sad time. Mr. Park's father passed away, and Brother Nevin Carson passed away. So, Carson Complex was to be opened on a Saturday. On the Thursday night at the prayer meeting before that, Nevin just came in and told us during the meeting that Reverend Park's father had passed away. That brought great sadness. But the complex was opened on the Saturday, and a week of meetings was to start with Reverend John Douglas on the Monday. The Monday night meeting went ahead, and on the Tuesday night, just before the meeting started, Nevin passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly. That was a great blow to the church once again. Nevin has been an elder since his Cabra days. And I'd oversaw the maintenance and building programs right throughout, so through to the finish. Nevin was a clerk of works, that was his job, so he was involved in the building trade all his life. So that came as a great shock and a great blow. Nevin was a very practical man. Anything that was to be done in the church, Nevin, when he retired, he was always in about the church. If Nevin saw a door that needed, wasn't closing right or a handle wrong, Nevin just fixed that. There was nothing said about it. He just done a lot of things behind the scenes. Certainly a man badly missed on Ballymoney.
And Sadie and yourself had mentioned the missionary aspect of the church, and we know, of course, many have been sent out. Fred Buick, John and Arana, Pat Mills, Norrie McAfee, others like Anne McCauley and Elizabeth Maneri, Janice Buick, Joy McCauley. And in recent years, Armin, Josh, Alejandro, and our students now, Jonathan, David and Greg, and the Panker in India associated with us, and our student assistant, Simon. So very, very missionary minded.
Yes, and it's a real blessing to have these. Thank God for all these missionaries that have been sent out over the years. Some of them are now retired, some of them are still in the work. And Reverend Fred Buick sadly passed away this year. Reverend Fred Buick spent many, many years serving the Lord in Australia, and it was great sadness that he passed away to be with the Lord this year. But just even in recent times, we can take our 7 young men from this church. Mm-hmm. 3 of them already pastoring congregations, and 4 going through the college. And then we have our assistant, Simon. That is certainly a great encouragement to this church, and must be a great encouragement to you, Mr. Park.
It is, and to the session of the church, and we do say to God be the glory. Missionary Council, of course, is very much part of it, and Sadie and Rosemary are very faithful representatives there, going every month to represent us at the Missionary Council. Maybe as we draw to a conclusion, your Uncle Albert was a great man of God. He was a great influence in my life, I know that. A brother, an elder, a home missionary here. We travelled often with Albert in the car to various functions, missionary work and so forth. Great personal worker. And I suppose he was like a father to me here in this congregation. Yeah. And he meant a lot to you too.
Yes, Albert has been an elder since the Cabra days. He had a great influence on me as a young boy. When I left school, Albert asked me to go and work for him. And I did that, just at the age of 15. But I had worked to him before that on school holidays and one thing or another. But he had a great influence on me, and I never could understand how Albert was able to witness to so many people just in everyday life from all sections of the community. It didn't matter who they were. Albert just seemed to have that unique talent just to go and witness, and that used to amaze me as a young boy. And when we would have been working, Albert would have been working along with us a lot of times, and all the men that worked there, he witnessed to them every day. We were sitting at lunch, Albert would have witnessed to them, and it just amazed me how the talent he had. And I remember one day in particular, there were men working in a field beside us, and they were standing in a group, maybe six or seven men, they were digging spuds. And we had been sitting at our lunch, and these men was in the field beside us. And Albert says, he just got up and he said, "I wonder, does those men know the gospel and know they need to be saved? I need to go and tell them." And he just went over and he started to talk. He talked to them for about 15 minutes, and I used to say, "How does he do that? What? I wish I could do that." He's just an amazing man. And then he felt the call of God to the home mission. On the 1st of February, 1977, he started the home mission. I should say there that he preached in the Diamond in Ballymoney for many, many years. And, you know, many people, I suppose, thought he was a fool. That didn't seem to annoy Albert. And just to turn to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, we read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And another verse in the same chapter says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And you, Albert, believed that if our gospel be hid, then it's hid to them that are lost. Mm. And certainly a mighty man of preaching. He continued on the home mission for 11 years, 2 days a week. And then on the 1st of February 1998, he went into that work full time and continued in that work until his illness, mm-hmm. and sadly passed away before the new church building here was opened.
Well, folks, there might be one other comment to make about young people, but I want to thank you for coming today. As I say, this is the 70 years that we're celebrating, so the meeting's longer than normal. We appreciate you listening. We rejoice together in the goodness of God. We give him the glory and the praise of our hearts. It's the Lord's doing, and that's why we're here today, because God has wrought it. And tonight the meeting will be just a normal gospel service out at Cabra, and we encourage you to come back again and join with us this evening there. But just a wee word, and then we'll sing the closing hymn about young people. You might have a wee word to the youth that are here.
Yes, my advice to youth, young people, to get involved in the work of the Lord. Get involved in the children's meetings, in the youth fellowship, and never be ashamed or afraid to take your stand for the Lord, no matter where you are. You know, it's not always easy. In fact, it's never easy. But if you take your stand for the Lord, whether it's at school or university or work, God honours those who honour him. And just a wee verse that Mr. Park quoted a couple of Thursday nights ago. "He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing has truth condemned. He gives the very best to those who choose to walk with him."
Amen. Robert, I thank you sincerely. You had a lot of thought to put into these questions. And Sadie, thank you very much for your part as well. You settled down a wee bit now. All right, you'll be able to enjoy your dinner. And again, we say all praise to the Lord. And we want to sing this hymn in closing. I know time has gone, but we're here to praise the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near, praise him in glad adoration. Some years ago, our sister Karen Hegarty wrote this book, From Vision to Victory. And there are copies left over, and we want you to take a copy if you haven't got one. They're at the door. Heavenly Father, dismiss us now in your fear and with your love upon us. We say from the depths of our heart again, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We acknowledge these 70 years that you've given to us, so hard to condense it into such a short period of time. But Lord, thou art good, and thy mercy endures forever. We pray that you'll be with us now through the afternoon and bless us tonight in the gospel for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Thank you.